Charlene Abel, who had lived in Sugar Hollow. Where exactly is Sugar Hollow?
It's on Mormons, it's at the head of Mormons River, but it's on Mormons River. Our Mormons River Fault, it's a south fault and a north fault. And the north fault comes out on the drive to go to Black Rock Springs. And the south fault would come along to go maybe to Dune.
Okay.
Of course, I'm sure you all know, have Black Rock Springs on your map.
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about the Black Rock Spring Hotel?
I remember it being one there, and my father used to play the violin. And when he was a young man, he and a Mr. Blackwell used to ride horses across the mountain to play music at Black Rock Spring.
Now, what was your maiden name?
Carr. C-A-R-R.
Carr. And your father's?
Was Tom Carr.
Tom Carr.
Mm-hmm.
Were there many in your family?
It was just three girls.
Three girls? That wasn't a large family, was it?
No.
Were there usually large families in that area?
It was in the area before my generation.
Roughly, how far apart were the houses? Were they close or?
Half mile, something like that, mostly in Sugar Hollow. It was some way on back in the park now. If you would. Where the park took. See, we didn't live where the park took.
Yeah.
But it was, after you come over the mountain, from Black Rock Spring, where you came to a little place you call Wayside, and it was a little church there.
Yeah.
And in the summertime, my aunt went back there and taught school. That was all the school they had, was in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, three or four families lived back there. A Bar and a Harris. And maybe I don't remember any more names. But and then a Blackwood. But you see, that was most too far for me to travel much when I was a child, so I didn't know anything good back there.
Roughly how deep is Sugar Hollow?
Well, that is about 4 miles, maybe 5 miles from where I lived.
Okay.
Uh-huh. But then you come on down to where I live. It's Charleston City Dam up there. The South Fault and the North Fault both flow into the City Dam.
Mm-hmm.
And then the river comes on down. It comes through Whitehall and meets Doylesville River. And goes on into the missions around there.
All right.
But I live down here on Mormons River. And my grandfather, my grandfather's place up there now. I have about 140 families up there. So.
Yeah.
And my grandfather had an orchard and a cane yard at the same time.
Alright, now then, in other words, did the people in Sugar Hollow peel bark?
Yes, my daddy did. And of course my granddaddy did too. That is the way they tanned their hides.
With the chestnut oak?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. My father was a Pam and his father, and they had, I can remember breaking the ball from Stephenbine. We had a red big thing that you broke your ball after prescribing to, and a horse was put, and the horse went around and around and around, and that would turn this smell.
Great.
And then the woods, they got a timber, and most everybody up there had a little orchard.
All right.
And orchard and timber. And we had a little
room school
house.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Was that far away from your home?
No, but not.
About a mile. Were there many, roughly how many children were in that school?
And that's my father.
Oh! My goodness, what a good looking man. Oh boy, he could have been in the movies anytime. Great. This tannery then relied on the people, I imagine, more than in Sugar Hollow. There were other people
that lived in the area.
Yeah.
That's, you see, in that time, there was a lot of horses and people farmed with horses, and they came there to make, and my father made harness, and he made their shoes once in a while, and my grandfather made the had a pair of boots that he made.
Really?
Nobody can wear them but me. His foot was so small.
Is that something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Roughly, what would you say, aside from peeling bark, were the means of support for the people who lived around?
Well, and one man had sold my own. And there was a man named that had a sawmill on the South Fork.
Was this a movable sawmill that
that my father worked at before he was married. And there is an old colored man that really doesn't know how old he is that worked there too.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I see him, he always says something to my father, you know.
Yeah.
So my father was about 100 years old. He was living. So I know this old dog is really old.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how old he is.
Yeah. How close to the to the Charlottesville, Waynesboro area, are we talking about?
We always said it was about 18 miles from Amherst to Charlottesville.
Okay.
But now, the people that lived above the dam on the South Fork and the North Fork too, most of them went to Waynesboro instead of coming down the hall. That's the reason I didn't ever see that much. And they didn't come to school down there.
Uh-huh.
They went.
Was it very steep?
Well, right in Sugar Hollow, of course, the place that my grandfather owned that I own now, we have cows up there, and it's they're pretty green fields. But the mountain right behind it, of course, when you start up, it's real steep.
Yeah.
And that still goes under the name of Carr's Ridge.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
Carr's Ridge. Was the ground rocky?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And the river is rocky. And the river will get down to just look like a little stream, practically dry up a lot of time in the summertime, but then it can get really rough, you know.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Particularly like the rains we've had lately.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, that water can get dangerous, you know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, were the people able to do much farming?
Not too much. They did some, but not much. The ground is so rocky.
Yeah.
they use they had enough, maybe make enough feed for a cow or two and a horse or two or something like that.
And how about for themselves?
That's all they tried to make.
They bought then all their vegetables?
Oh, no, they all had gardens.
Oh.
It was good gardening.
Mm-hmm.
Mountain land, you see, if you clean up a little new ground, it makes more potatoes and things than most land.
Mm-hmm.
Soft and easy to.
Yes, right. And the cabbage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Everybody had good gardens. And in the fall, they all have peel a lot of apples and make a big kettle of apples. You make your own soap. Of course, you had a churn. You churned your own butter. And you had these stone jars and had a spring box. Well, everybody had a little spring. You didn't have any. The place I have now never has that running water in it. And it has nice little spring.
Mm-hmm.
And the nice little spring runs by. And I pick you up there sometimes. It's a beautiful old place.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Mm-hmm. Two questions. They're vegetables. How do they keep them over the winter?
They can them. The cans, and the way that you put it in an open kettle, you know, in the can.
Yeah.
And then they put tails in the garden of cabbage, potatoes.
The trench? In a trench?
Pour dirt over top of it.
Uh-huh. Right. Mm-hmm. That seemed to be pretty universal.
Uh-huh. And then they had, they'd call them cellos, and you know.
Mm-hmm.
That kept the apples in.
When, have you ever tried down here to bury your cabbages? Mm-hmm. I was wondering if it worked.
We never have had too much full cabbage.
Oh. Turnips and potatoes, did you ever try to bury them?
Well, we have tried to bury some turnips several times.
Did it work?
Yes, it did work. Mm-hmm.
Somebody told me it didn't. Okay. Your apple butter boiling. Was this sort of a party time?
Oh, yeah. Always somebody else came in and helped, you know.
Yeah.
And then we'd have corn shuckings. That would be a party time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Neighbors sort of get together?
Uh-huh. And the fellow that found a red ear would get a drink of whiskey. You'd fix the big supper. And I can remember my grandfather never hunted. My father was like the coon hunt. And I can remember him saying they were going to have a corn shuck, and he said, you'd take those dogs and go out and get some coons so we can cook up for the corn shuck.
Oh.
So he got up in the middle of the night, because the coons walk more than that time.
Yeah.
And he said he didn't go to the farm. And he got up and walked and finally put down and he went to sleep. And he waked up just about the time daylight began to come.
Oh.
And he thought, Lord, he couldn't go back home and tell his daddy didn't have any, because his daddy didn't want him caught anyway. He thought he was wasting his time. He said he got up and started home, and his dog stopped, and they ran two nice big coons up a tree, and he got them both. So they had their coons for the.
He was redeemed. With the apple butter boiling, did couples take turns stirring?
Well, I don't remember, but people. You'd have to take turns, you know. You cooked it all day and part of the night. It depends on, you'd peel maybe a barrel of apples.
Yeah.
To start out with, and then you'd keep adding.
Mm-hmm. So nobody had this business of if you touch the paddle to the side of the kettle, you got a kiss.
No, I don't remember any of that. That might have happened for my time.
You missed the fun. Okay. While we're talking about fun times, did they play music very often?
Oh yes. My father, I can't remember many times that he'd come in from work instead of taking a nap after lunch. He would say, get your instruments and come on in. And we'd have more music.
What did you play?
Well, I played the violin some, and I played the guitar some. And my sister had a order house. And my older sister played the organ, after my father died, my mother gave me the violin because she said that I was the only one that had ever played. Of course, didn't any of us have any lessons?
No, it was by sight.
By ear.
Whatever. Yeah.
Sound right.
What tunes would you play?
Well, we would play banjo.
Old Joe Clark. How'd that go?
Go in the mountain, old Joe Clark. Go in the mountain and sing. Na 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 na. Old Joe Clark had a chicken coop, 16 acres high. Every chicken in that coop could do chicken pie.
Oh, great. That would be a good dance tune.
Oh, yeah, that's a very good dance tune. And then going across the mountain.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, I have a nephew that my parents raised. He lives in Charleston. He still comes out here. We get out to settle with the guitar and play those old songs together, you know. Oh. We still enjoy it.
Yes.
And once in a while, some of these new people that live in Sugar Hall now will want us to come up and play those old songs. And they get up and dance, you know. Golden Slippers.
Oh, yeah. Two Cent Gal? Did you play that?
No, I don't think it did.
All right, now you had these dance tunes. Did people dance?
Oh yeah, people dance. Right.
Where? In the home or in the barn?
In the home.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We move everything out of the room.
Yeah.
Have a party.
Mm-hmm. Great. Now you dance, and of course everybody gets thirsty. What would you serve?
Oh, they served some crackers and pickle and.
No moonshine?
No, they never. They might have that outside somewhere, but they never bring that in.
Oh no,
you never see that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Was there much?
You could tell some of them. I remember being at a dance one time, and the man that was calling figures, he got right smart and tipsy, and they were going promenading. And they finally had to stop because he just got to lean them against the wall and he kept hollering, keep on going, keep on going. Still finally keep on going, just wait. But no, indeed. It was a church up there and everybody went to church. But of course you knew that they had, some of them had that whiskey, but They never brought it in.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Well, actually, making the moonshine was a way of life. It was a way of earning a living.
Oh, yes. Some of the lower class of people did that for a living. Mm. And, of course, we knew it.
Mm.
But you wouldn't report them. That was their business. You didn't tend to other people's business.
No.
Oh, no. I can remember, we used to have wild bees in the mountains. And my father found a bee tree, and Well, I think he always tried to make a boy out of me because he didn't have any boys.
Yeah.
So I'm the boy of the family. Ah. One night he and I said, I just cut a few trees. And we went on above this little schoolhouse and we hit a branch. And we went to this little branch, I said, Daddy, I smelled something on this branch. It smells like apples or cider or something. He said, yes, I smell it too. And we went on, and first thing you know, we came to a still. And it was still warm. They just, and it was the only still I ever saw. And I wanted to look it over so bad. All I could remember much was it looked like a little black stove or something with a lot of coils and things in a can.
Mm-hmm.
And, but Daddy kept saying, he always called me sister, sister, you cannot stay here. Come on. If they catch us here, they set us there still. Come on. So we went on and cut the tree. And then we came on back the other way. We got some honey. And when we hit the road, well, it's a Girl Scout camp there now, but this person man lived there, I think he's dead and gone. I don't know, I haven't heard from him in years. But he and his wife were sitting on the porch, and the man said, Mr. Thomas, did you see anything up that hollow? And the daddy pushed me what he meant, and daddy was a fire warden.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you better rake the leaves away from that thing, don't you gonna set the mountain on fire. And that was all it said.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you mind your own business and
oh,
not
yeah.
everybody.
Uh-huh.
Right.
He didn't tickle mine. He knew he figured we had found it.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And of course then he was certainly found it.
Sure.
He didn't have any idea that it would go in a barrel, that's it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, that was Daddy's business. He was fire warden.
Yeah.
You keep the leaves away from it.
Speaking of fire wardens, there were quite a number that I have heard of fires started on purpose
mm-hmm.
in the mountains to assure a crop of huckleberries.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall anything
uh-huh.
like that
uh-huh.
happening?
Uh-huh.
It did.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, a lot of fires were set. It's very few fires that ever been on this side of the mountain since.
Mm-hmm.
They start setting, I'm sure they settle.
Yeah.
And if you've ever seen a forest fire, that's the dangerous thing. I'm
sure.
Yeah.
Right. Were any of them what they called spike fires? You know, people would sort of have a little feud with each other and...
Well, no, I really can't remember if there were. The worst fire that I can remember, it was one way on back there, just before you get go over the mountain to Black Rock Springs, and it had been burning right good while, and Daddy took a bunch of men back there to see if they couldn't get that fire, and we just cracked everybody in the hall, and it was a sawmill across the mountain from us on the other side of the mountain. Of course, the hollow ones like this, we sit here and the sawmill on that side of the mountain. And I saw a little smoke come up just to that lunchtime. And it just began to grow. I knew a sawmill was up there. The first thing you know, there was a very big smoke up there. And the men folks all looked back down the hollow and saw all that smoke. Well, every one of them left that fire and came on back to fight the fire at home. But it burned that whole ridge. And it just sounded like a train roaring. People
oh.
came from everywhere to look at it. That was way back there in those dry years. Those,
oh, yeah. During that drought.
29 or 30 or something
yeah.
like that. And it was so hot in the woods.
Yeah.
It was just an awful time.
Oh,
mm. But,
were many houses up there, log houses, so that in case a fire came along, they were gone?
Yeah, the people would get scared. I'd never remember it setting the house on fire, but some people would begin to move out, you know, when it would get so close. But I don't remember it ever.
Yeah. All right, speaking of those houses, were they mostly logs?
Yes. Well, I think those old ones up in the park were back there.
Yeah.
And house that my mother and father lived in, some of it is long, I'm certain. And the house that I have up there near my grandfather's, I'm pretty sure that some of that is lost. But it was remodeled in the 1890, something like that. And the old part, though, to that house has windows, not steps, it has windows way up almost to the ceiling, just a little bit of. You'd have to get on step ladder to keep those windows. I'm sure that part of that house is lost.
The school that you went to was
the first one was a little one room, and it was weatherboard. It wasn't more.
Now, did your aunt teach there?
No. It looks like to me, Miss Mamie Carter maybe was my first teacher. I didn't go to that school but a little while, but I remember the first day I went to school. The weather was warm and there was no screens, the windows were up. And some of the boys were great big. And one of them threw something out the window and said, "Mercy." So he reached over and picked me up and took me out to pick it up, you know. And then the teacher wanted to know what I was doing. So that's most I remember about that old schoolhouse. But then the people in the community got together and hauled sand and made blocks and built them. And it's still there, but of course somebody lives in it that hadn't been to school for a long time. And they taught from the first to the seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
My aunt taught in that school.
All the subjects?
Yeah.
All right. Very good. So the education then for the people in that area was good.
Oh yeah. They were, and then after I got through there, I see I went to Fort Hall, and I went there through the 8th grade, and then I went to Crozet to finish up.
How did you get there?
How did I get to school? Well, when I walked to Sugar Hall, and when I started to Fort Hall, I drove in a little cart, my sister and I, a little two-wheel cart for all 50. And then when I went to Crozet, my sister was gone then, I rode a horse to Whitehall and got on a bus. School bus picked us up at Whitehall. And I went to school at Crozet. But of course, now Crozet School is just an elementary school now.
In the winter, you still did this?
Yes, I did. I can remember having a coat that had fur collar. And right many days, my breath would freeze on it. I had a stable that the storekeeper didn't keep my horse in at Whitehall. Yeah, it was a hard way to get an education, but
sure.
And my other school bus goes up there, of course, and picks them up, but then it didn't. Yeah, people had a hard way of getting out to school.
Now, your mother must have, with your father doing the tanning and your grandfather the tanning and all the rest of the work, your mother had to be responsible for the garden.
Oh yeah, a whole lot of it. And putting up things, and then packing apples was a big job with the women as well as the men in the fall.
Packing them?
Uh-huh.
To ship where?
They'd bring them to Crozet. My daddy would haul barrels of apples on a wagon.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd haul and the women folks would sort them out and put them in the barrel, and then at night the men folks would put a head in the barrel.
Mm-hmm.
You see, putting a head was a right big job.
Yeah.
And then you had to couple your barrel before you got ready. That had to be all done before you started that on your cattle. And then in later years, of course, they got put them in baskets.
Yeah.
But when I was a child, they were all put in barrels. And it would go on for months, it looked like. They had apples, and they'd move a table from one place to the other, you know, and the pickles would come for them on the table, and you had to sort them out for size. You'd have little leather things cut so if they'd go through, they'd have to go in another barrel, you know.
Now, do people from further up the hollow come down to act as pickers, or
those,
where did he get
those
them from?
People above the dam, we didn't ever see like that, but everybody around there would work an apple. Just about everybody had some apples to work in. If they didn't, they would come and work.
And you really did have large orchards, didn't
you?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. My grandfather had a lot of orchards. But everybody had some, and my father had right much. And then an inspector would come every year and go through the apples, too.
What for?
They had to pass inspection. There'd be a number one and a number two apple. The number one apple should get more fall.
Hmm. What kind of apples were they?
Well, most of the ones sap and amore pippins,
mm-hmm.
but they were your biggest crop.
Yeah. Did you have any myelin?
Well, yeah, you had some, but you ate those more or less. Those that you sold, you know, were, and most of them that were sold was wine saps and, well, Granddad had some salmon. And there's some salmon trees up there now that they didn't have anything on them this year. They had a big crop last year, but I don't know why. And then I had some early apples above the house, two trees this way. They didn't have none of this year, but the bear got most of the ones on the early ones. You can see where it followed.
Yeah, they love them, and so do the deer. Speaking of the wild animals, did you see any bear before the park took over?
Oh, no. I didn't see any bear. Well, we saw signs of bear. My husband was a customer. And the deer came around here maybe and thought of something. But that's part of seven. We had some cows up there. We knew where a deer was using. And they turned the fox loose that morning. We had a big to do. And some of the men they'd all gathered together and turned the fox loose, you know, turned the fox loose. Well, the fox went on. And some of them wanted to go see if they could get another fox. But my husband had promised me that after that turning loose, that we'd go up there and see if we could run that deer and see it tonight. And we did. We had a good old dog. Saw his tail. But he went on above the dam. So we went on up there somewhere in the head. And thinking about the dog. And he walked over the hill. Well, he had a gun too. And and I shot and killed him. I was so proud of that turkey. You never know what a
real
you get out of killing your first turkey.
Yeah.
Great big turkey. Well, after that I got a turkey call. I decided I would go try to see what I could do with that turkey business. It began to be a lot of turkeys.
Mm-hmm.
And we formed a club in 52, because the deer began to come, but still was no bear. And truck, I found a red 600 turkey. And I took one up that school northern the first season, you know. And every time I could find them, and I went up there on the first day of season. My husband, he didn't want to go. He wanted to go up on top somewhere. But anyway, I went by myself. And every time I'd go there, I'd call those turkeys that answer me. And I called and called, and didn't get no answer. And finally, I got a little key. And I found it all down there in the brush pile. I figured somebody had gotten into them up on top. So I flashed that bunch of turkeys, and I called them back. And that was the first turkey I ever called back.
Mm-hmm.
But in all the years then, I have hunted. I would have not supposed to kill anything but a bearded turkey. And Elmo had it for a good while. This year we will. And I have collected all those for you.
My goodness.
Every one of them are precious to me, you know.
Surely.
Oh, yeah. I used to could tell you where I got every one of them, but.
Yeah.
And my turkey caller. I figure that is why I've gotten them.
Yeah.
Because I learned to talk their language. If you don't talk their language, they won't be with you, you know.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now we're getting turkeys down here. But, the first bear I saw, I think maybe it was maybe in the 60s. A friend of ours, this bear was coming up the road and the sun was shining on. Well, my first thought that it might be a burro. Oh, burro. Look at his hip and saw a bear like that. And my husband, that was a long couple. And just that time I said, a bear! And the thing jumped at the road and was coming. We were so tickled over seeing a bear.
Yeah. They're elusive. Yeah.
But now my boys, they have hunt dogs. My husband barely enjoyed that. And I don't know how you all feel about this hunting business, but we feel that if you hunt right, that it helps your game. At a season, if they need feed, we have always bought feed and fed. Snow on the ground, but kept them going. And my husband and our children never take anything that's not lawful to take. We have seen, but it's just like I said long ago. If I see somebody take something that's not lawful, they know I don't agree with it. But I've never said anything because I just feel like I can't make an enemy of them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then I have tried my luck at stuffing some of these things that get that.
Yeah.
You see anything there?
Oh, that? Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the wild animals, how did you keep them out of your gardens? The coons and squirrels and rabbits.
Well, most of them have dogs. And today that we have down here on the bottom, my son has a garden down there, but he wouldn't have anything if he didn't. He takes one of his dogs down there and ties it and has to go down and feed it every day. He's in the middle of his dog.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about the way the day was there.
Sure, right. Okay. Now, did your mother know any of the herbs that were used?
Well, of course, everybody knew that Indian turnip.
Huh?
Do you have an Indian turnip?
No. So, see, there's one person that doesn't know about it. What's an Indian turnip?
It's a little bulb that will just burn you up.
A bug?
A little bulb.
Oh, a bulb.
Uh-huh. And it's a little bulb that looks kind of like a turnip or something that grows in the mountain.
What do you use it for?
I don't know what you use it for, but if you just take a bite of it, you don't get rid of it all day, it'll just set you on fire.
Colds, maybe? For a cold?
Yeah, I imagine it's something. And then ginseng, you see, that is supposed to be used. And mint, so you use to make mint tea to, if you had stomachache.
Oh, for stomachache. What would you get if you had a cold?
Get a cold.
Okay.
They gave Epsom salt and castor oil.
Yeah.
They gave me Epsom salt and coffee. And today I don't want no coffee.
Oh, no.
With Epsom salt in it.
Did you ever get any of those onion plasters?
No, but they have mustard plasters.
Not onions.
No, not onions.
All right. Did you raise enough corn so that you could take it to a mill to be ground into cornmeal?
Uh-huh, we had a corn mill up there.
You had a corn, uh-huh. Your own corn mill?
The neighbor that lived next to us, John Byer, ran a corn mill.
Mm-hmm.
And he had these big blocks and they had a race and a big wheel and water ran over it and
Did you pay him to do it, or did
you either pay, or he takes so much of your corn?
Yeah. How about flour? Did you have to buy your flour?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where was your nearest store?
Mm-hmm.
Which was how far away?
About 3 miles.
Mm-hmm. You'd use the horse and wagon to get there, or carry.
You have to go in the wagon or buggy or around the
horse. Would you take things like eggs and chickens down to?
Oh yeah, butter and eggs and chickens. You trade for things.
Did he give you credit or cash?
Most of the time they give you a due bill.
Lock you into the place.
You come back and.
Yeah.
You had more than what you wanted to spend.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember we'd go to Charlottesville. That's once a year anyway. But we'd get up the whole day and you'd drive your buggy to Crozet, leave it in the livery stable, and get on the train. That was a big day, you know.
Yeah.
That was most of the time being fall when you'd get you want to close and things.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you'd come back and it'd be dark. By the time you drive back home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You raised hogs?
Oh, yeah. That was your cured meat, and that was all the fresh meat you got, unless turkey chicken, unless you ate wild meat. Of course, we'd always get squirrels and rabbits.
Mm-hmm.
Fish? Oh, yeah, always fish.
Yeah. Did you do any fishing?
Oh, yeah. I still fish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of course, I learned to hang fish. And when the river would get low,
mm-hmm.
and I could still hang fish so much, but always said he would stick his hand underneath the rock for nothing. I told him you had to learn that when you was a child. But you see, the Game Commission stacked the reservoirs there and the north and so forth with trout.
Yeah.
And, we still always go up there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel like I could go this spring without my husband, but my nephew came up and I took some granddaughter. Mm-hmm. And I said she made my day because I saw her catch a trout.
Yeah.
And she was the most tickledest thing. She was just all over that bank and all over that fish, and she didn't know I was watching it. You know? She thought something was going to get back, and so it was a nice big one. And finally, when she got it, I couldn't get to Japan, because she looked all around. She was with Mammy. She saw me. And she said, Grandma can't get the hook out of his mouth. What am I going to do? I said, Amy, you got a knife in that satchel I give you. Reach in there and get that knife and get that hook out yourself. So
yeah.
She finally did.
Well, your pigs, did you allow them to run loose? Or?
Oh, no, we always kept ours up, but it was one old lady that lived up on the mountain that just turned hers loose and they fattened themselves off acorns.
Sure, yeah.
It was hard to get them up, you know.
Yeah.
But no, we always would fed them right in the apples and corn and pulled wheat.
Did you ever hear of feeding grapes to pigs?
No, but I suppose it'd be just as well as apples.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That would surprise me when I heard that.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Everybody would have hogs in the fall. You'd kill them. And, there's no difference. Every once in a while, somebody would kill a calf. And they'd come through peddling that calf.
Uh-huh.
And you'd buy a piece of meat for them.
So you had your wild wild animals that you ate, and yet your grandfather objected to your father hunting, and yet it was really almost like a necessity in a way, wasn't it?
Well, yes, it's no more than killing your own chickens and hogs. And
right.
Sure. Now, it was, well, they said my great-grandfather hunted all the time, and my grandfather thought that you wasted, a lot of people think you waste your time, you know.
What was your grandfather's name?
My grandfather was Bernard Carl.
Uh-huh.
And my great grandfather was old.
Do you know how long the Carrs had lived in that area?
I don't know, but I know in the history of Elmore that the Carrs were some of the first people that settled there in town. So we figured that we came from.
One of the things we're trying to track is where people came
and
from.
And then my mother's father was a Brown. And if you know anything about Brown's Cove, which was supposed to have been settled from the Brown. Yeah. It's a lot about the Browns when they first settled in Brown's Cove.
Okay.
And she was a direct descendant from there. And her father was killed in the Civil War. She remembered her father never come home anymore. She got killed. And it left her mother with one son and a house full of girls. And all of her slaves were set free.
Mm.
She had all the time.
Yeah. And the family history goes back a long way.
Yes, to the Browns and the Carrs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's so many things I want you to tell about. I don't know which to start with first. When you were a little girl, what toys did you have?
What?
Toys.
I had a little lamp, a little red lamp that I still have. It would burn. I had a little chimney, but I broke in the chimney. And I had a kitchen doll with a china head, black hair. And I broke that back, putting it in a little wagon, run around the house, and it fell open on a rock. And a dollhouse. But we'd usually get some toys at Christmas, and then we'd get oranges and candy and fruit and raisins. But the children there have all the time, they don't think that being anything, you know. But then we did. That was a big thing with Christmas, was that fruit and candy and stuff you get.
Did Did you do the Kris Kringlers?
Do what?
Kris Kringlers? No, you didn't. Mm-hmm. I wonder. That's only in one area that it was done. I'll tell you about it when they were through here.
Uh-huh.
It's fun. Did you shoot off firecrackers?
Oh, yeah, we had some firecrackers, not too many, though. We had more sparkles. We usually get
Christmas
sparkles at Christmas.
Yeah. Roman candles?
Yeah, sometimes Roman candles.
Mm-hmm. Did you hang your stocking on the mantelpiece?
No, I always set a shoebox.
Oh!
And my older sister, I shouldn't tell this on her, but she used to always go out and get the wash tub. And set that. And of course my shoebox would be running over. And she wouldn't have very much in hers because hers was too big. And she'd always say, look like I could have got a little more.
Oh dear. Well, now with with the Black Rock Hotel, people would come there from Charlottesville, wouldn't they?
Yes, uh-huh. Nobody from Sugar Hollow would go up there, except I don't know of anybody that went except my father and Mr. Blackwell to play.
Mm-hmm. Trains didn't go there. So how did people get up there?
I don't know. I didn't ever go there until after I was grown. I went there one time. But then later on, my husband and I tried to go there, but I never could. It had grown up so I never could find it. But when I went there, the buildings were still there, but they were beginning to fall apart. And the spring that I was most interested in seemed to have a lot of iron or something in them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they'd have, I don't know what they called it, but like you'd big balls, molded alleys or something there in one building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it seemed to be kind of a hotel with a lot of rooms.
Yeah. Yes, the pictures of it look as though it was. Right. Okay, so you had fun at Christmas. Did you celebrate Thanksgiving?
No. Mm-hmm.
4th of July?
Oh, well, we usually always went on a picnic or something on the 4th of July. You see, some 10 folks would usually come up on the 4th of July and we'd walk up to, my grandmother was a Ballard and she was raised up there on the side of the mountain and her brothers and some of her people would like to come up there and walk back up there as long as they were able to go.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. So it was sort of like a family gathering on that day.
Kind of a family gathering on 4th of July.
How did you meet your husband? Did he court you a long while?
The first time I saw him, I came down to his house. He lived right over the hill here. We were invited down there for lunch. And we went to church at White Hall after I was 10 or 11 years old. And these babies came over too. And we were invited over there to lunch. And I can remember he had on knee breeches.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we went to school together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And just kind of getting along.
Right. Very nice. Were the weddings simple?
Well, most people just went on and got married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's silly the way they do it now. We're spending so much money on it, and
I know. I don't think it's just that. Both of our sons, we have two boys. Both of them had big weddings, of course, but no. And my husband and I decided to get married. We just went on and got married. And
Before, excuse me, before you went to the church in Whitehall, where was the church that you went to in the mountains?
Well, it was about a mile from my house, and it was a non-denominational church, and anybody could preach there that wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
It had an organ, and I can remember my father sitting up there playing the organ.
He was very musical, wasn't he? Did this come through the family?
He loved music. No, I don't know that anybody else played.
Great. Was there much money made in having a tannery?
Oh, no, it wasn't much, but it was a living then, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was more than the majority of people had. So you were a little better off than most.
He dug that. A great big thing to put your hides in. You'd have a clear water vat, and then you'd have a lime vat to put the hides in to take the hair off.
Mm-hmm.
You had all that taken off to do. And then you had these vats that you put your bark in. Well, you'd straighten the hide out and flatten it down, and then put your bark over top of it, and just keep on until you fill that vat up. And water, and you let that sit there. No, 2-3 months, 4-5 months sometimes it is cold. Before you'd ever take it, you'd have to look at it and cut a little piece to see that it was tanned through before you take it out of there. That was the last step in it. And then after you take it out of the way, you'd put linseed oil on it and work it until you got it nice and soft. And if you wanted to make it black, you kept a iron pot, and he put iron things in there and kept water in there until it gave out smaller bark. And you took that black and with the brush and rub on that. And you keep rubbing on that until you get black leather.
Mm-hmm.
Some people prefer black.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he would tan. If they bring him a cow hide, they could either pay him and get it all, or he would cut half in two and keep half of it and give them half of it.
I see. Yeah.
And then in later years, he had a few deer hides and a few bear hides to tan before he died. But the bear hides were hard to get the grease out. They had a lot of grease in them. It was hard to get them to stay down. And the deer hides, he could tan them all right with the hair off, but their hair would not stick. It would come out. But now sheep didn't. See, that's a nice sheep hide. I can, a lady up close, they called me not long ago, and she said, we went camping before the park came along, up in Sugar Hollow, up on the south wall, well, I think the park burned that house down. But there's an old house up there. And she twisted around till she found it was 50 years ago. And she had arthritis or something right bad, but there's 18 or 20 of us. And she said she got a pole, and she cut everybody's initial on that pole that was in that cabin. She says, I want you to see it. And then she'd sit down there on the phone and began to call us. Now, who is this? Now, who could that be? And this and that. And finally, she came to AC. And I said, that's Ollie and Carl. She said, I was looking for Ollie Nabel. But then she brought it not long ago, and I left it out there.
Yeah. Hey, you mentioned sheep. Did many people raise sheep around?
Oh, yes, it was a Mr. Alexander from across the mountain that had a farm up there that he started an inn, that he had right many sheep. But then he had a lot of trouble with some dogs got into him, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I remember he had a big trial over it downtown. Because
mm-hmm.
some people wouldn't kill the dogs.
Yeah.
I can remember my grandfather had a shepherd dog we all thought a lot of. I wonder if it's dead. Everybody wanted to have one of them. He comes down to the granddad had trucked it in Canada.
He had what?
He put heavy things on him and sunk him in the sandbag. And everybody wanted to know what he did it for. He said the dog had been killing sheep. We said, how do you know he was the one, granddad? And he said, I opened his mouth. And he had feral and couldn't his teeth. He said, we cannot keep anything like that. So the staff said, just let him know. So I suppose it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Once
it starts, it never stops. So he said everybody had been hollering that we can't kill this dog, but it was just to let him go. So yeah, I was just that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. When you get a dog that does something like that, it's best to just get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh boy. So people did have sheep down
there. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Did they do any weaving?
Oh, it was some people down the road, McAllister's way, that had a loom that they made carpet.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen this carpet. And people would take their old clothes and tear them up in strips just there like that,
mm-hmm.
and roll them up in a ball, pull the ends together, and they take those big balls there and tear them to weave your carpet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they didn't use the sheep wool to.
Oh no, uh-uh. That was before my time, you see.
Yeah, I wonder if they did.
I would think they did.
You never saw anybody doing any spinning.
Uh-uh.
You never saw any spinning wheels.
Oh no, uh-uh. I never saw anybody spin.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a child.
Hmm.
So,
hey, how about doctors? Were you ever sick very often?
Well, we had a doctor's wife hall.
Mm-hmm.
And as far back as I can remember, we had a doctor's wife until. It was after my oldest son was born. He died just like my husband did. He started down the hill and ran over the ditch instead. Dr. Roberts and his daughter still lives in Hall Hall. See, then we had country doctors and they'd come to your house.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
How about dentists?
Well, it was dentists at Crozet.
You did go to the dentist.
Oh, right? Yeah. You'd have to go to Crozet Shaw's for a dentist.
Oh, you were very well off, my dear. You don't realize how spoiled you were. I wonder about the people further up the mountain, if they ever used a dentist.
Well, I wonder, too. I don't know what they did about that.
Mm. Well, you wouldn't know any of those names, and if any of them are still around, would you?
Well, it was Joe Wood. That lived up this South Fork Hall. And he had a son, Lurdy Wood. And he lived between Camore and New Hope, the last I heard of him. I don't know whether he's still living now.
Camore?
Uh-huh. It used to be a post office, Camore, but it's probably a road one Waynesboro or something by now.
C-R-I-M-O-R-A,
maybe.
Yeah. He might be able, if he
Lurdy Wood, but he owned a place in Sugar Hall, his father's place, that my husband and I tried to buy one time, and we went there to see him, and he wasn't too far from New Hope.
Okay. Is there any other name that you can think of?
No, I really don't know. All the people on that North Fork think they have see, the Whitehall Hunt Club that I belong to owns some land back there on that North Fork, but it's way back almost to the drive, and we brought it from a Crohn's, the R-O-N-E maybe. This Crohn seemed to merit a wood that we knew some people over here where we got onto that land. But then some vines lived back there that a friend of ours bought that place from there. Who he bought it from, I don't know. They always called it the Minivine place.
V-I-A?
V-I-A, uh-huh.
Well, there are a lot of vines.
Uh-huh.
They aren't tracked down once.
It's a graveyard on that place.
Yeah.
And some of them are V-I-A and some of them are V-I-A-R.
Oh.
But all those people packed it back there, you're talking about doctors now. In that graveyard, most of them were just children. And they had stones. But the oldest person you could find was about 52 or 3 years old.
Mm.
And then what they all died with, I don't know. But most of them were just children, very young people. So they evidently didn't go to a doctor.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so many didn't use a doctor or dentist.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear. You have told so many wonderful things.
And there was a old lady, Miss Matt Mappin, that lived on that mountain. And she seemed to be the doctor for most of them.
Oh.
If you get sick, she'd come.
Yeah.
I can remember, I've always had a lot of trouble with this eye. Well, I'm practically blind in that eye now. But when I was a child, that eye would hurt for days, and I just had to keep it shut. And one day, Daddy went up to Miss Maps and told her that my eye, she sent some seed. She said, tell your mother. Tell her mother to put a cloth over it and keep it damp and put it on her eye. And she did. Well, I thought.
You don't know what that seed
was? No, she never would say it. She wouldn't tell you her secret. But when somebody would get sick, all across that mountain, she'd go. Seems to be the best doctor around that they could get, you know.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, the knowledge of herbs was very, very good.
Uh-huh.
And nowadays they're finding out that these herbs did really work.
Uh-huh. Yes, I know.
Mm-hmm. Now they're trying to do research and mm-hmm. find out about mm-hmm. it, but the people who did it are gone. Oh, dear. Let's see. I think we've covered about everything that I usually talk about. You said that up there in the top of the mountain they just used headstones, not, you know, stones for the funeral when a person died
no,
in the graveyard.
No, back there on Graveyard Hill we called it, they were footstones. I never could understand. Yeah, they got those stones in there.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
With the names engraved on them?
Mm-hmm. See, it would be practically flat if you'd come, have to get up on drive. If you'd come on in there and it was a road that came around on top there, you'd stay on top of the mountain. If you'd look down over on the other side, you'd be looking down to Brown's Cove. But if you'd look back this way, are you looking into the Sugar House Garden?
Mm-hmm.
And when we first started going back there, there was a lot of stones. And later years, there hadn't been so many.
Oh, no.
And somebody said that they had found some crushed man. Somebody made a wolf for them. Didn't you figure anybody doing a trick like that?
Nope. Listen, you don't know what you have done.
Well, I hope I've had to do some.
Oh, it has been just simply